Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time...
Oh, you didn't know? You ass better call somebody!
First, representing this week in Geek, and from parts unknown, he is... Mike, the Birdman, Don.
I am one hardcore D-O-double-D.
I'm a nice man. I'm a nice man.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network, and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is Mike. TFG1 Lancher.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
And from the Great White North, here is your special guest referee, Ryan the Uneven Flow.
The Mountie always gets his man.
You are listening to Mayhem Mikes. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
Hello and welcome to Mayhem Mikes, episode 22. I'm, of course, Mike TFG1 Blanchard. Joining me is Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
Yo.
Yo. And as you heard in the programming note from our WrestleMania episode at the end of that, Wade Barrett returned to give us some bad news. We're going to be waiting until our 25th podcast to do the Undertaker Superstar Spotlight because we have to talk about something that is somewhat less spectacular than the Undertaker and somewhat very much one-sided to a three-hour show. That is the Superstar Shake-Up. So after WrestleMania... they alluded to a superstar shakeup within WWE between Raw and SmackDown. Now, ever since the original draft ever since the original draft last year, or whenever it was, I've looked at WWE as a sporting event when it comes to that kind of stuff. Yes, it is technically sports entertainment, and sometimes they err on the entertainment side more than they do the actual athleticism. But... you look at the draft, it's every professional sport, Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL, all of them do drafts. And usually by their all-star breaks, they usually end up having last-minute trades. That's what I look at this superstar shakeup as, you know, some sort of sports trade between two different things of the same company. So, to run down the first night... superstars that switched from SmackDown Live to Raw, because obviously Raw is first, and Raw is a three-hour show, and as I said, this is pretty one-sided here, folks. Raw got The Miz with his wife, Maryse, Intercontinental Champion, Dean Ambrose, and I'll let you talk about these at the end, Bray Wyatt, Alexa Bliss, Mickie James, Apollo Crews, Kalisto, Heath Slater and Rhino, and Kurt Hawkins.
And? David Otunga.
Oh, nobody cares about him. Once again, WWE.com doesn't list the entire thing. Yes. David Otunga and... what's his name? Basically, folks... I'm only taking this from a movie, so please don't get mad at me, listeners. David Otunga and Byron Saxton are the two biggest token black guys in WWE. It's essentially the same thing as Not Another Teen Movie, because they just switched the two black guys. They're really... okay, yes, there is a difference in their styles, but, like, I was expecting some sort of bigger shakeup. Like, I was expecting JBL to go to Raw.
To be fired.
I know, right?
That was a chant last night, too. So for anyone who doesn't know the story, JBL, we don't know for certain, but nearly everybody close to it's commented on this, and it seems like JBL is responsible for Mauro leaving. via bullying and that kind of thing, because JBL, what is definitely known, is a colossal jerk backstage and just pulls pretty mean-spirited pranks and that kind of thing on everybody.
He's a colossal jerk on air. I mean,
true, but yeah, he's just an asshole, basically. So,
did you say with Vince's approval?
Yeah.
What the hell, McMahon? Oh my god. Yes. So Otunga and Saxton switched. I kind of like Byron with the SmackDown crew, because Byron, to me, like, look, folks, I come from the generation of John Ross, JR. And
John Ross,
shut
Jim
up,
Ross.
Jim Ross, whatever. JR and King and Jerry the King Lawler. Okay, those were the guys. Them, and for me, the best interviewer backstage was Mean Gene. Okay, so when half these young guys start out as interviewers backstage and then they get bumped up to the announce tables, it's like, they don't care about you. I want to hear the voice I've always known. And Saxton was always one of those. Saxton, to me, is in the same camp as Phillips, as the same camp as Otunga. He's not, you know, a Michael Cole. He's not a JBL. He's not a Taz or any of those other people that have ever done the commentating outside of JR and King.
Well, mercifully, they're all above JBL. But anyway.
yeah.
Because he's awful. Graves is... Quite
Graves
frankly,
is great. I don't Graves always agree with him, but yeah.
Graves, I'd argue, is better than King was. But having said that, that's because King's jokes were dated in the 60s.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so bad. Anyway. So, yeah, it seems pretty one-sided. Yeah, I mean, Miz and Ambrose are probably the biggest two.
Yep.
The Wyatt move baffles me, because, I mean, isn't he feuding with Orton? I mean, he is, but
yeah.
Doesn't it make sense for him to try to get the belt back? But it's obvious he's going to lose that. Like, he's lost so many times. I just don't... I like the guy, and I want to like the guy, but I just don't care anymore. They're obviously not interested in him, so what's the point?
And
he
honestly,
loses every feud, and now he's going to move to Raw, where he's inevitably going to lose the feud with Finn Balor.
Yeah, and honestly, and we'll talk about the SmackDown stuff here in a moment, folks. But honestly, after watching Raw and then after watching SmackDown and hearing what Daniel Bryan had to say about the United States Championship, because a certain United States Champion is now on SmackDown, we'll talk about that in a minute here. The fact that they still want to remain true to the brand storylines until after Payback?
Yeah, it's
weird. What?
Well, it's obvious, yeah, some of these guys aren't changing. I mean, obviously, you know, Raw's not going to end up with the, you know, Jericho's not sticking around, so, I mean, he's going to draw up that one. Just in terms of Raw, the show, the only two things I wanted to point out from that.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Owens. So, having him lose clean to Ambrose, and then, I'm going to spoil it now, show up on SmackDown, to me is another, it's another indication of how little WWE thinks of SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they have him lose clean, he's a title holder, when he's, you know, pretty much red hot, involved in a feud, you know, much higher up than Ambrose's crappy middling feud with Corbin.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you have him job, and then you move him. Like, wouldn't it have made sense to move him, you know, as kind of the hot guy, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it would have. But when has anything in WWE history ever made sense? I mean,
no, and it should be noted, I mean, SmackDown cleared 3 million viewers and continues to very much challenge Raw. I mean, it's beaten Raw in ratings before. And also, to be fair, in the end, the guys that moved to SmackDown, or yeah, to SmackDown from Raw, are guys that generally have an awful lot of potential, but we'll get to that in a second. So anyway, just to finish off my Raw thoughts, the only other thing I wanted to bring up, man, I feel so bad at this point for this guy.
Oh, no.
Oh, poor Roman.
I know.
So for anyone who, oh, hell with it, I'll just assume most people watched it, but anyone who didn't, quickly to sum it up, Roman was going to give an interview, and then Braun Strowman comes out and beats the ever-living crap out of him repeatedly.
Yep.
So two things that why I'm bringing this up. Obviously, you know, they had the beating because WWE wants us to feel bad for Roman and to start cheering him, and because, you know, Braun's a bad guy and he jumped somebody. That's not what happened. First of all, the fans cheered each time Roman got beat up. Worse for WWE, each time that Braun would go off screen and then come back to beat him up some more,
they cheered.
The fans cheered. It was the loudest cheer of the night by far each time. And then lastly, you know, first they started chanting one more time each time Braun would beat the crap out of him. And then lastly, when Roman, when he's finally done and Roman's being rolled into the ambulance at the end, after, you know, the first ambulance got flipped over,
go ahead and go to the end, but we need to talk about that in a minute.
They're chanting the na 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 a a.
Oh, God.
As he's being loaded in the ambulance. Now, if that's a sign to Vince that you're never going to get this guy over as a good guy right now, I don't know what is. Because, man, that's mean, even by my standards. I feel bad for Roman, but, I mean, it is so obvious. It's just not going to happen for him unless they change something up. So, yeah, they need to do something, because this is getting ridiculous now to watch him. You know, they do all this stuff to make him sympathetic, and the fans just love watching him, like, get thrown off a loading dock, get, you know, his ambulance tipped over.
Okay, the ambulance tip over.
It's a really cool spot, but it's also so unrealistic, I thought it was kind of
That's what I want to ask you, because, like, seriously, like, we all know about WWE's wellness program. If you're on stuff, you ain't gonna be on TV lifting up friggin' ambulances. So I'm wondering, is Braun really that strong?
No. I mean, you could hear in the background the
hydraulics.
Oh, hell. Yeah, sorry. The winch. There we go. There was a winch doing it. You'd hear it in the background. So, okay. I mean, obviously he's not that strong.
Obviously, no. But that was just like, oh, my God, what are you doing?
But I'll say this. I mean, it created a really memorable spectacle. Like, even after, it's an image I remember.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it still does what they wanted it to, even though it was kind of hokey. But anyway, that's all I wanted to really talk about is that just I feel so bad for Roman, but on the opposite side, you know, it's not his fault, so I'm sure he's smart enough not to blame himself, but I mean, they're just doing such a crap job with him.
Yeah.
And so, for some reason, they're so dead set on doing it this way. I don't know.
So before we move to SmackDown and who they got from Raw, what do you think with the Raw recruits at this point, with the new Raw recruits, what do you think storylines we're going to get with Miz and Maryse now being on Raw and Alexa and Mickey for the women's division? I mean,
I like that pretty much all of it, though, reinvigorates each division, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, now the tag team-wise, Slater and Rhino aren't going to figure into much. The tag team division, though, is already fine because you've got Revival coming up and the Hardys have returned.
Yeah.
So they're like, the Revival are, their wrestling and everything is out of their minds right now. They're so good. And then the Hardys are the Hardys. I don't really need to say too much.
It's the Hardy Boys. All we need to do is play their entrance music and you guys get it.
I mean, they're fine, but the other groups, like Alexa Bliss and Mickey, definitely add some fresh faces to, let's be honest, it was basically the Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte and then sometimes Nia show.
Yeah.
So that helps them a lot. And then the other two, I'm just really interested in seeing Miz and Dean get to work with somebody new. Because Dean in particular has been kind of floundering.
Yeah.
So maybe some, you know, new feuds will help him out a lot. And Miz has had one of the best years of his career and just been terrific. So letting him play with the guys on Raw, I think, is smart.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll get him to stop doing that stupid John Cena impression.
I thought it was well...
It was, but...
I agree. I hope he doesn't do it again. But yeah. I was just going to say it was well used this time out. It worked.
It was used up until WrestleMania. After WrestleMania, that one time, because John and Nikki are gone right now, one time's enough after Mania. But leading up to it was all great.
But I think this time was good, just because... Yeah. It worked because it gave Dean something to play off of, which is obviously why they did it.
I mean,
in terms of trolling the fans, it was kind of funny.
But John!
Yes, sugar booger?
Hollywood didn't want us.
That's correct, Nikki. Turns out, we stink. We are not good actors. We are not good actors. I believe the word was robotic, whatever that may mean. So, the smartest move for our brand is to take full advantage of the Superstar Shakeup and come back to Monday Night Raw!
No way.
This is an acquisition. This is awesome. Talk about a superstar shakeup, guys. Miz, Maurice, and Dean Ambrose.
John Cena and Nikki Bella, boy, am I glad to see you. Ever since I heard about this whole superstar shakeup thing and I was moving to Monday Night Raw, I was nervous. I didn't think I would know anybody, so it's nice to see some familiar faces. And congratulations are in order on the big engagement. I'm so happy for you guys. I really am. I'm so happy for you guys. I've always been waiting for you two kids to get together.
Dean. You do realize that...
No, let me finish, John. Let me finish, because we all know that once you start, you're just going to ramble on for like 20 minutes, and I won't be able to get a word in edgewise, so please, let me finish. Congratulations on coming back to Raw. Congratulations on the engagement. And most importantly, congratulations on beating The Miz and Maurice at WrestleMania, because those two are the worst.
Okay, Ambrose.
John, no, you know, let me finish. I'm sorry. I know you're a modest guy, you're a humble guy, but I want to give you a serious congratulations on all your continued success in Hollywood. I mean, all those movie critics said that you couldn't act, and you proved them all wrong when you nailed that voiceover spot as the elephant who eats the pistachios. Superb work, my friend. Just don't go do anything stupid like make Marine 5.
Listen, you lunatic. We are the It Couple. The Superstar Shakeup brought us to Monday Night Raw. Maybe I need to make this clear. She is not Nikki Bella. She is Maurice. I am The Miz, not John Cena.
Oh, well, in that case.
Oh, Ambrose, 30 days to The Miz. Welcome back to Monday Night.
I love it. Ambrose has no business spoiling the arrival of the A-lister.
Well, he just did. More important,
Finally, Monday Night Raw has the Intercontinental Champion. Dean Ambrose is here. Dean couldn't even tell the difference between one of the biggest superstars of our generation and John Cena.
He eventually got it straightened out. This is going to be quite the night as the Superstar Shake-Up continues. Welcome to Raw, Ambrose, Miz, and Maurice.
Yeah.
They play the music, and they're excited, and yeah, it's not him.
And I love, I've said this on this show for 2 years, I just love Dean. I love the way he does his thing, because he comes out there and he's like, oh, John, I missed you, whatever else. And he wouldn't even let Mike say, Dean, it's us, it's not, we're not, and until, you know. I love how he kept cutting him off.
Now, the one thing they shouldn't do, by the way, is have those two guys feud, because they feuded before a number of times.
Yeah.
To me, it would be silly to have them move over only to have them fight each other again. I don't think they're going to, though.
No, yeah. I don't think so. All right, so the next night on SmackDown Live, the following switched from Raw to SmackDown. Tamina, Jinder Mahal, why is he still here? Sin Cara.
I forgot to do a no with Otunga, Kalisto, Kurt Hawkins, and I think those are the only other bad ones. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah. The only way that I will actually enjoy Hawkins again is if it's he and Zach. Remember when he and Zach first came out? It was, yeah. So anyway, Tamina, Jinder Mahal, the second Sin Cara, I believe. The Shining Stars, oh God, no!
How did they manage to make the already terrible SmackDown Live tag division so much worse?
I know. Sami Zayn.
Yay.
Lana and Rusev. But I'm wondering here if she's going to actually start doing shit, because
they announced them separately.
Yeah, they announced them separately. They did not say Rusev with his wife Lana. They have this whole other promotion of just her, so I'm wondering what's going on there.
She's been wanting to be an actual wrestler for a while, and she's been in training for quite some time.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe now is the time they're going to do it.
Maybe. The New Day. Okay, they're still going to do the same shit they've always done, except they'll do it on SmackDown. All right. I just don't understand why they have Xavier Woods, I get, because he is the voice. He has some athleticism, but he is more so the antagonist. He's the guy that's going to come in to help the team win. But seriously, having Kofi and Big E in a triple team just seems like a waste of their talents to me at this point as athletes.
Maybe, but I mean, when they've tried the single stuff, it never worked for them. Now, admittedly, that's because, you know, Kofi got saddled with some meh stuff. But Big E had a couple shots pretty much close to what he is now. And for whatever reason, it didn't work. Like, each of these guys just kind of found themselves and everything else together. I think inevitably, they're going to break up. My thing is, they had an interesting sort of thing starting with the Revival, so I'm kind of sad to see that end, just to move them.
Yeah. And then the death of the SmackDown Live Women's Division, Charlotte Flair.
I mean death. It's a definite, it helps them a lot too, I think, especially she'll work well with Becky. One of the issues with some of the SmackDown Live women is you've got ones like Carmella who... Carmella's not a good wrestler, and she's really, really early in her career, and that's why. So, I mean, there's, you know, not criticizing her. I'm just saying, like, she's new to it, and she will improve. But somebody like Charlotte can help her improve rapidly.
And then, as we mentioned earlier, Kevin Owens came out first.
Yay.
With a brand new haircut.
Yeah, he was all clean shaven. And
yeah, I was surprised. I was really surprised. But no, I think it's going to be interesting having KO on SmackDown to see.
See, here's the thing. If it was just about the people, Raw got a much better deal, obviously. The problem is SmackDown's been written so much better than Raw that I'm way more excited about the SmackDown people.
Yeah.
I mean, Raw's writing has been bleh. The show is too long.
Yeah.
One thing I don't like, by the way, and both shows did this, there were so many guys that it was just sort of announced, either like before or after their show, that they just kind of went like, oh yeah, by the way, Rusev's on SmackDown now. And they didn't even show up. Same with poor Cruz. They claimed it happened before the show, and he doesn't even appear on Raw.
Yeah, and then they tease the New Day and Lana saying they're coming next week or whenever the hell. And it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, like, we can't be bothered to actually have them show up, but...
I mean, I know we don't want a three-hour SmackDown because it could never... No, I know. But I'm saying, like, you couldn't do, like, one special... Like, if this Superstar Shake-Up shit was, you know, supposed to be the end-all, be-all kind of, you know, mid-season draft for the WWE, you couldn't have had that episode of SmackDown go, like, 2 hours and... like, an additional 30 minutes...
Or even give them like a 20-minute segment where you go like, how do you feel about being on SmackDown?
Yeah, something.
But yeah, have them at least show up. It just seems a little weird.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Raw has more than enough time. I mean, half the time Raw is trying to find shit to fill the time.
Yeah, although, you know, I want to give them credit too this week, actually. I should have mentioned this before. Mm-hmm. They're actually finally doing something with more than two cruiserweights, and they're starting to get that division going because they actually have TJ Perkins doing something and being involved with Austin Aries and the champion Neville. So that's an improvement. They need to work on that. Remember, that was the big problem with the women's division. They'd have, like, one match per Raw. That was it. And it would be, you know, Sasha and Charlotte, and they couldn't involve anyone else because they just, for whatever reason, it was like they were banned from using more than two people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they seem to be learning, though, and it's improving.
Absolutely. I thought the Superstar Shake-Up was fun.
Yeah.
I thought the way that the women's division was done on SmackDown was a little strange, but it also provided some comedy moments because they advertised it on the show as Shane McMahon's, you know, state of the women's... It's basically like a whole political...
They should have done it anyway after the crap WrestleMania bit they did where,
I know,
you know, hey, let's give six women about 6 minutes to film.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that was nuts. And that's just how the show worked out. I mean, it wasn't a statement on their quality or anything.
Yeah.
Did
Dana Brooke come with Charlotte or?
No.
Okay.
Remember, good. She's still on. She's gonna feud with Emma. It looks like on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
On
that's
Raw.
Good that's good then. All right. But yeah, the other thing I wanted to bring up, folks, just briefly. Not really. It always kind of surprises me at times to see which WWE superstars are actually doing something in real life besides what I know them for. And apparently, Kane is into politics. He is making a bid for mayor in Tennessee. the only reason why I bring this up has nothing to do with the actual story. It has to do with the comments on TV, TV's Mr. Neil's thread. So somebody commented on this. Glenn Jacobs is a smart guy. For those who don't know, that's Kane's real name. And I said, no doubt, but still, really only think of him as the big red machine. And Neil's like, let's just hope his political rivals don't bring up Katie Vick or May 19th, or the Christmas creature, or fake Diesel, or that time he was Jerry Lawler's dentist.
Yeah, and by the way, he missed the worst storyline Kane was involved in, so that's a little...
Corporate Kane?
No.
All right.
I hate bringing this up because this is one of the things I hate most about wrestling.
Okay.
And this is this may be the worst storyline ever. I think it's worse than the Katie Vick necrophilia. All right. So, remember there was the storyline that Kane, he raped Lita and she got pregnant. Eventually, she started falling for him, and then he bumped into her, and she had a miscarriage.
That's not. Oh my god.
That happened.
How did Vince allow that to?
It was probably his idea.
I don't know if he noticed this,
but Vince is not the most progressive forward thinker.
I mean, how did he think that would be a good idea?
Well, it was in the Attitude era, so.
Yeah. Neil does go on to say, like I said, Kane's past is a convoluted mess. Did you know WWE actually released a book that tries to explain the history of Kane? I'm serious. Kane's backstory is so absurd. They made a book to explain how he was presumed dead as a child and raised in secret by Paul Bearer, and yet somehow also had high school sweetheart who died in a vehicular manslaughter. Oh my god.
Yep.
But anyway, Kane for mayor, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, joking aside, I hope they don't use that against him. I mentioned it earlier to you that, you know, while politically Jacobs and I definitely differ, he does seem like a person who generally, you know, wants to do well, and he's very intelligent, so I wish him the best.
Mm-hmm. And just to carry over from last week's Nerd News, folks, Ryan was making a lot of United jokes in that episode, and these toy makers move fast. There is now going to be a Lego United. There isn't. It's a meme, but Jesus Christ, that's hilarious.
Well, to combat bad press, the TSA did actually make like a TSA airport Lego playset.
Oh my god,
that one exists.
Oh my god.
The Amazon reviews of it are amazing.
I bet they are. Oh shit, that's funny. Do you have
These are the things you learn on our wrestling podcast.
That's right. Do you have any other thoughts, any other things you'd like to bring up about Raw and SmackDown this week?
No, I mean, I think I kind of hinted at it too, that I'm... Just because of the format and because I feel like it's been the better show, I shouldn't say everybody feels that way, obviously, that like maybe there's some people that like Raw better. I got to say, in general, before the moves, I liked Raw's roster a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, post all the moves, I'm really excited to see what they do with a lot of these guys. And then in terms of if you're a fan of pure wrestling... As in the, you know, athletic event. Mm-hmm. Jeez, there's a lot of talent there. You have Nakamura, Styles, Owen, Zayn.
Mm-hmm. So, are they going to revitalize Owen Zayn again? Are they going to do that feud again now? Because I remember, like, when I was watching it, and Kevin was already out there doing his address, and Sammy's music hit, he's like, no. No.
I liked that, by the way. That was a nice segment.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear we're going to see Styles Owens as a feud.
Okay. Well, that works for me, too.
Which I'm definitely up for.
Absolutely. All right, folks. So coming up next on Mayhem Mikes, we're going to have two episodes, two pay-per-views per episode. Because I think I said this in the WrestleMania at the end of the WrestleMania episode, or I might have said it off air to you. Now that we have the brand-specific pay-per-views, I like doing them two at a time, one for Raw, one for SmackDown, blah, blah, blah. So episode 23 is going to be Backlashing Payback, and episode 24 is going to be the Extreme Rules of Money in the Bank, which I almost forgot about Money in the Bank, because usually doesn't that happen before WrestleMania some years, or am I mistaken on that?
Money in the Bank is always, it's always quite some time, because there's a big... gap between it, of course, because you know everybody speculates when somebody's gonna cash in.
Yeah.
And I mean, when was it now, 2 years ago we had the that guy there, Seth Rollins, cash in at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know, that's
And I'm
Money in the Bank's one of my favorite ones, by the way. It's always been fun because you're speculating basically on who's going to get a good shot to be the next big star.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's frequently somebody unexpected who, you know, gets a title shot. And that's kind of neat.
Yeah. you know, now that I think about it, with Raw having who they now have, a reunion. I keep praying for this. It's never going to happen. I know. I need to live in reality, right, folks? But they never said about Roman going anywhere. He just got attacked, and obviously he's not going to be around for a little while until he gets all his health back and everything else. But I'm saying, Seth didn't go anywhere. Dean came to Raw.
Yeah, they're all there. No, I know. I think that's something they're going to keep in their back pocket. The problem is, it's kind of like what we talked about.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, people are just so... like, I did not, in my wildest dreams, couldn't have expected the reaction to Strowman jumping Reigns to be anywhere near that. I didn't think he was that disliked, but... Having said that, you know, I mentioned this on our last podcast that pairing them up right now almost poisons Rollins and Ambrose.
Yeah,
and that's unfortunate.
I mean, would I like to see a Shield reunion before next WrestleMania? Yes, at some point. But again, it has to be. It's something we've said often on the show. You and I have talked about it. Mike and I have talked about it. I think you and I have talked about it more. There's a certain time length to let feuds and storylines occur naturally, and then sometimes WWE fucks it up and lets it go too long or cuts it too short.
Yeah, like, say, or the opposite. Like, remember last time they met, first of all, the Shield reunion wasn't even advertised before the show.
No.
They just put them together, you know, on the show.
Yeah.
And had them in, you know, a one-off match, which I think was a mistake. Like, if you're going to do that, they should have made a big deal out of it, and they should have...
Yep. Got the old music back, got everything back the way it was.
Yeah, they should have built to it a little more, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it was one of those things where one of the storylines, not specifically to the Shield, but one of the WWE storylines that I felt didn't last long enough was Y2AJ.
That was like nice.
That was like 3.5 weeks or less. That did not, like, they came out with those shirts, because I remember this. They came out with those shirts, and then like the next week they were broken up.
Well, what's funny though is then you compare that to how perfectly they handled the Jericho.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, that breakup was perfect, and people were anticipating the match enough that we're going to get a second one with them.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's just... Yeah, I mean, it's hit and miss, but I mean, we're not... You know, we're not in charge. I don't know what happens behind the scenes, or, you know, maybe guys just don't want to work with other guys, or maybe, you know, the wrestlers have a different feeling about how it should go.
Yeah.
So, oh, absolutely. I have no idea. Yeah. But yeah, just sometimes it feels that way.
All right, folks, join us next time for the next two pay-per-views here on Mayhem Mike's. Where can the people find you online, sir?
At Nightbeat on Twitter.
I am at TF2 and Mike on Twitter, at Geekcast Radio, at This Week in Geek for the network Twitters as well. You can also find us on the websites, geekcastradio.com, thisweekingeek.net, and... yeah, we're going to let Michael Cole close it out tonight, folks. We will catch you next time here on Mayhem Mike's.
This is not good for Jericho.
Starting to break furniture.
Every action, there is a reaction.
Oh, fellas, we're about to have my favorite kind of flashback.
Yeah, I think we're going old school.
Oh. Shield style.
You just made the list.
All clear.